Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma County has been informing the community about the 8 places you can go vote for the primaries. All 8 locations have been posted on YumaDailyNews.com. Here's a good one. Arizona Republican governor candidate Karen Taylor Robson had to hitch a ride back home on Governor Doug Ducey's state plane because her jet was Ubering former Vice President Mike Pence to Nevada. A report says her campaign will have to pay the money back for not only using the plane, but having them come get her. Read more about it on the website. Schools ordering food for the beginning of the fall semester could be facing the loss of federal assistance. It's because of a legal battle being tied to sex discrimination rules. Learn more on the website. An elderly man from Yuma has been arrested for first-degree murder. The man stabbed 2 homeowners in their backyard. One of the victims was his brother. Learn more about the murders on the website. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
As you make plans for the weekend, keep in mind we have that potential for showers and some thunderstorms every day through the weekend. Now, it's not going to be a washout, but if you hear thunder, time to head inside. Just a slight chance of a thunderstorm today, 100 this afternoon. Tomorrow, we're partly cloudy with a few thunderstorms, 103 the high, and a few thunderstorms Sunday as well, 103 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Agerberg with Academy Mortgage. Tom Rush with Yuma Investment Group. Russ Clark with KBLU, AM 560. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, well, you've got a stack of papers. Russ, you teed us up with kind of lots
nothing.
Of... you always got something.
Hey, so big week. I mean, we had the Fed increase by 0.75%.
Right.
And then
We also had the GDP number come out. Which they're expecting a 0.4% positive, and it was 0.9% negative. And back to the definition of a recession, I was an econ major and beating your head, but it basically is 2 quarters of negative with a GDP contracts negative twice. Doesn't matter how big the negative is, could be negative 0.1 or negative 10. So with definition, we are in a recession. And that's what's being debated is...
By the old definition, they want to change definition. Well, of course, we're changing definition of what a woman is, and nobody knows what it is in some cases. But yeah, it's it. That's, and the headlines are showing, and some headlines.
Yeah. So here's what has me kind of thinking is the first quarter, they came out with GDP number, and it was like a little bit, it was like 1.5. It was actually positive.
Yeah.
And then waited about 2 weeks, and then they revised it. And then it was negative 1.9 or 1.5. Mm-hmm. So this number is 0.9 today.
What's
Give it about
the revision?
2 weeks, yeah. And I bet you it's below 2. But
well,
that's just my guess.
But you're touching on, number one, the revisions are dumb. Put out the real stat and put out the real stat. But what you talked about, they teed this up from last week. They started talking about changing the definition of a recession because they knew what the stat was going to be.
Sure.
And so let's start
softening
changing
it.
Let's soften it up. And that's what it all seems to be, is let's soften, soften, soften. So when something comes out, look, the average American consumer knows that we're in a recession. You can see prices are going up. Disposable income is going down. And as soon as you start talking about that, what does everybody do? Let's save some money. Let's not go out one more time. I mean, Russ, you and I have even talked about it. Let's have a no spending day. You know, let's do things that save you some cash.
Yeah.
But if everybody does it at the exact same time, that's called a recession because now everybody stops spending money, which then affects the GDP. So it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. And even though they want to soften it by changing the definition, You're just prolonging the conversation, which I think ultimately makes it worse.
I mean, one of the definitions in the economic world is, you know, what's a bear market? And I not to put you guys on the spot, but bear market, what's the definition of a bear stock market? Anybody?
That's a good question.
Well, it just means it's going negative.
When it breaks 20% down.
20, okay. I didn't know how much it was.
20%, then we're technically in a bear market.
Yeah.
So imagine they come out, I don't know, next week, next month, and say, no, a bear market's now negative 15. But the standard, which has been the standard for history that I've known, is a bear market's down 20%.
But they've done it over and over, and we let them do it. Russ talked about it just now, that if we use the same standard of measuring CPI, we would be in the teens right now.
Yeah.
But we've
changed. From the 60s and 70s.
Right.
We changed.
But we've changed that definition, so we agree and we allow it to happen. Right. And now, you know, oh, well, it's not.
My fact checker is saying, stop the racist talk. Recession can only be defined by the White House. And he says, the new media terminology for economic condition is recession is possible instead of we are in one.
Now, I watched the White House yesterday talk about this item on one of the news clips.
Oh, Jean-Pierre, she's terrible.
Kind of remind me of like Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah,
where they
I agree
and
with
say,
you
very much.
You know, we are not in a recession. And you're like, you know, like, is this for reals? I mean,
yeah, it sounds like something they're just sitting in a back room making. Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if we said this?
Yeah.
And then they're out there doing it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, you know, the big question is, you know, can they get a hold on inflation, which is too many dollars chasing too few goods? And the next Fed meeting is going to be in September, and the talk is 50 basis points, or it could be nothing. I mean, it's their choice on what they want to do, but that's what the street's guessing.
I don't know how they can fix anything until they recognize where we are or that there is a problem. So how can they possibly fix it?
Well, the Fed's supposed to move without influence from anybody.
Well, that isn't happening now. The White House is now engaged.
But when
telling the feds when recession is.
When you need the White House to determine whether you're in a recession, no, they're not the fact checkers. They're not the ones that are supposed to be measuring this. They're the people who take the data and make decisions based on the data, not the ones that identify what the data should be.
So by raising, raising the rates, the other spin on this that people don't realize is that the Federal Reserve has done a reversal of the quantitative easing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember what that is, but quantitative easing is where the Fed was buying back
they're selling,
not only government bonds, but also corporate bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time they ever bought, they bought government bonds in the past, but not corporate bonds. So that was a big, during COVID, that was a big new thing that they bought. But now they're basically starting to reverse that and basically get rid of their bonds or get them off the balance sheet, sell them basically. And by doing that, that's saying that for every $8.5 trillion that they move off of their balance sheet, it actually increases rates by 0.2%. So not only is the Fed having the Fed raise
rates,
there's also another force, the reversal of this quantitative easing, which is also causing rates to go up. So that might...
Supply and demand, and they have changed what Wall Street has in terms of supply. And so they've doubled down, and so all of a sudden, let's say mortgages. You have the entire industry creating mortgage-backed securities that are sold into Wall Street, securitized through Fannie, Freddie, Ginny Mae, et cetera. But now all of a sudden, our rich uncle, who just bought $8 trillion worth of bonds, both residential mortgage and commercial paper and junk bonds and municipal, they're now selling that, competing with us mortgage lenders. So now, what does Wall Street want to pay for a bond? More or less?
Yeah.
They're going to pay much less for the bonds. Okay, as the price goes down, the interest rate to the consumer goes up. There's a much longer definition of what that is. But for everybody, when it's oversupplied and the price goes down to a bond, the interest rates are going to go way up. So you're right. They're controlling even all of the borrowing rates for you and I as consumers. When the Fed raises the 0.75%, that doesn't directly translate into mortgages. But when the Fed starts selling off that $8 trillion, it really does impact us. And you can see that. When did they talk about your quantitative reversal?
It was in June.
They started talking about it in June.
I think they started implementing it.
And they said in November they would stop purchasing. Weirdly enough, when did mortgage rates start going up? in November. And then they made a reversal in February and they said, you know what? Just kidding. We're not going to not purchase. We're actually going to sell. So in March, they said, we're going to start selling. What happened hugely in March? Interest rates went up.
So you think interest rates are going up and it affects your, you know, the mortgage and the housing, not only because the Fed's raising it, but I mean, you're saying what I'm saying. Quantitative easing is also forcing it up.
100%. So when the QE stuff happened and they started buying bonds, that drove interest rates way down. That's the reason we got down into the twos, is the Fed was artificially forcing rates down by driving the price of the bonds upwards because they were buying literally everything. So now that they're selling, but everybody who's creating mortgages is selling. Well, there's not enough buyers at that price. So all of a sudden, the price is going down, which means the interest rates are going up.
So I just heard a number that was kind of eye-opening. It said if you qualified for $500,000 house January 1st, you now qualify for about $300,000 house.
That much of a difference?
That's what the stat said I read. I mean, I don't know.
Depending, and so that's, you know, stats, they're good for some reasons and not for others. So when you say, let's say in January, interest rates could have been 3 and now they're in the mid fives. So you're almost 100% higher interest rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would think, okay, if your payment went up 50 to 60%, because you're not changing principal, you're not changing taxes and insurance, you're just changing the interest portion. Let's say your payment's 50% higher. Yeah, if you were qualifying at your max, you might be that far down. But do we want people maxing out or do we want it affordable?
Yeah.
But it kind of just goes to show that people that are in the housing market, I mean, that's a big big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might even cause them to sit back and wait. Because you know how it is. When they want something, it's not exactly what they want. Well, we're just going
to
wait.
It's kind of hard to wait. It might rain. You know, you're going to be
outdoors. It's going to get worse if they wait. It really will.
You need to take a break, buddy. Somebody.
Hey, be right back. This is 5, 6 a.m.
You don't mind if I turn it on?
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. It is 8:18 on a humid but gorgeous Friday morning. It was a great sunrise this morning. Derek Egberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark talking
morning.
Mortgages, credit, all things.
Got a little rain here in Yuma, too, so that's good.
Yeah, I know. I just washed my truck, and then it got it all messy.
I got some mesquite trees in my parking lot at work, and they look half dead, so I'm glad rain came.
If you wouldn't be so cheap and turn on the bubblers and the drip irrigation, for crying out loud. Come on, Tom.
Hey, you know, we don't have the park that you have at your office.
Whatever.
With the water fountain. No, that's actually, you're probably one of the best landscaping jobs in around town. So appreciate you doing that. I'm a little tighter, but what I wanted to also bring up is, did you guys see the big rain out of Vegas flooding the main strip?
Yeah.
Like a little river?
We wanted a flood.
Which is good for the Lake Mead, right? Yeah. Hopefully some of that fled somewhere back to get the reservoirs up.
Well, you need a lot more than that, but
Yeah, but it's a sign of something. Anyway, so talking about mortgages. So for the first quarter of this year, 2022, 53% of the mortgages went to refinancing their debt, which is basically refinancing their house, and the other 47 went to people that were making purchases. And your comment was, with rates going up, people are less likely to refinance if they don't have a savings, and that's drying up, right?
Yeah, the opportunity refinances. The average person who watches a random commercial and goes, oh my gosh, I could save $100 of my mortgage, let me refinance. Those are gone, and everybody who pays attention in the industry knew this was coming. So those are gone. The situational things, like, let's say, Tom, you have a kid going to college and you haven't saved and you need to pull money out of your house to pay for college. Okay, those kinds of things are still going to happen. But yeah, roughly half of the volume of the industry is gone because the interest rates went up. So you had said you had talked to somebody kind of off air. And
Yeah, locally, one of the title company gals told me that their numbers June to July, they had about 70% less transactions with the title company.
And so
it sounds like a lot to me.
It is a huge amount. And what you just said is the likelihood is all of those refinances they were banking on are gone. And so now what's left in a market is a normal market. It's purchase business. It's people who are buying homes and selling homes.
And 5.5% mortgage isn't bad. I mean, historically.
Well, look at. Would you gentlemen agree that inflation is, using the current White House stats, 9.1? And that's really bad, right? Would you agree that that is not where the number would be if we use the 1970s and 80s?
Mid-teens,
score?
Right?
Okay, so the last time inflation was this high, where were interest rates in the early to mid-80s? You got a guess?
They were up to almost 20, right? 18,
Russ,
19?
How about you?
Oh, I wasn't listening.
I know. See, I'm just calling you out because you were playing, I don't know, Candy Crush or something over there. But no, the last time inflation was this high, interest rates were in the teens. They were 14, 15. And you say, okay, wait a minute, guys. To the average person who goes, wait, these are signs that you should slow down and look, the market is slowing. No, people bought homes when they were in the teens.
I'm thinking the mid-70s got up to almost 20, right? The 74?
Well, I wasn't.
It was high. It was almost maybe.
So what do you think that's going to do for, I mean, you guys definitely have calibration on where rates are going to go. And, you know, our firm and stuff I read, we think rates are going to stay high for a while. When I say high, meaning either where we're at now or more. So what's your guys's projection? They think it's here for a couple of years.
Everything that I'm seeing and reading and paying attention to is it looks like the next 12 to 18 months. And then after that, if it gets fairly bad, then you're going to have interest rates drop. But 12 to 18 months, you're going to see interest rates in this environment that they could be touching sixes in the next year. And at the same time, there's already loan programs that are in the sixes. So when I say that, you know, credit score and down payments clearly change everything. But this is a purchase market. People buy and sell homes even when it was 12 and 14 and 16%. So the housing market is not going to decline. It's not going to go to zero. But there's going to be some people who fearfully don't buy. But now let's take a look at Yuma, Arizona.
Most of the loan people work on full commission, right, or close to it?
Most. It's probably a 75-25 split, depending on who you work for.
Okay. 75% commission?
Like, I'd say 75% of the mortgage people, like real estate agents, are commission, and about 25 work for a firm that they just have a paycheck. And
okay.
It doesn't matter whether they come in or don't come in. But when you look around and you say, Tom, do you think home prices here in Yuma are high?
Historically, yes.
Okay. Russ? Yeah. Okay. But if you're moving from, let's say, the San Francisco Bay Area and you come over here, what do those people say?
Bargain.
Oh, my gosh. This is so cheap. This is amazing. So part of it is, what lens are you looking through? Because there's some areas of the country, like I'm seeing people from California and Washington and Oregon move here because they get to keep their online jobs and they get to keep their income. Yeah. So when you talk about housing and mortgage, just understand, pay attention to the area of the country you're talking about, because there's some areas that are not as lucky as we are.
Sure. Well, that was a county out of Texas I read that could run out of water because their tanks are going down and the wells aren't pushing. So just the fact that hopefully Yuma has good water, right? So we won't have our citizens
I guess we're
going to
test
water.
Them, right?
But now let me ask you this. When people relocate because they can work out of their house, I read somewhere that they analyze, they do give them a little bump down. Have you found that out?
Haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it? Okay. But an income.
The customers that I see, we have to prove that their income continues. Yeah. So we get letters, and the employers state that they can work remotely, that it doesn't matter where they live. And all of the customers I've seen, actually, I can say I've not seen a customer who took a pay cut to work remotely coming here.
Okay. So I mean, the housing market is maybe not, and I'm talking about Yuma now. You're thinking it might not slow down as that much either, right? I mean, even though rates are high, because there's a supply demand for houses that the millennials need to buy. They've been sitting on the sidelines for a while.
It's the supply and demand. It's people moving here. It's the 2.4 kids moving out of the houses that are then going to create more households. You know,
downsizing for retirees.
And there's always going to be the moving up and moving down. But here's the funny thing. If you're hoping for, let's just use some stats, and I hate stats, but let's pretend there was a 10% market pullback and that $300,000 home went to $270,000. Okay. Would that be a pullback you would love to wait for?
If I was buying, yes.
Okay. But if interest rates went from 5 to 6, that's a 20% increase in your interest rate. So we're brainwashing people to say, hey, let's hope for a 5 or a 10% pullback in price. But all of a sudden, you may
you're
be waiting.
You're paying the same amount.
You're paying the same amount or more, just like you talked about with that $500,000 down to potentially qualifying for $300,000. You know what? They qualify for less because interest rates went up, not because prices of homes changed. So the interest rate changes everything for people. So if you're hoping for a pullback in price, you better be betting that interest rates are not going to go up.
But they will.
But they will.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, I read stuff, and you probably know this better than I do. So if rates do stay where they're at or go a little higher in the next, you know, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, that also means that rental income's going to go up, right?
Oh, because have to.
It's always set on what that person can buy the house for and rent it out and make
profit. And they already have. There was two huge articles and some news. It was all over Fox News, to name a station, last week. One of the big guys up in Phoenix said, all of his rents are 30% up. And if you look at, and we talked about this with Johnny last week, I've got a chart back at the office that shows nationwide there's some areas that rents are up 40%. Across the country, the average is a 30% increase. So, you know, you look at, even if the payments are higher because you're buying, the rent rates are just as high. So you're not saving anything. And there's times in history that you say, wow, it's cheaper to rent or it's cheaper to buy.
So a lot of these people that bought a rental house or in their own house at, like, say, 4% or 3.5% when they were low, is probably going to see a big cash flow increase on rentals.
Turn it, you know, and again, we've talked about this all the time. I love turning them into a rental. I love moving up, you know, play the, you know, cue the George Jefferson theme song, moving on up. But do it in a way that you can manage it. So it's not a, hey, I won the lottery. You better have 6 months worth of reserves. You better have some wherewithal to withstand a repair. You know, there's always stuff, but we can look backwards and go, oh my gosh, everybody who bought a home 3 years ago is going to be doing really well. And in 20 years, we're going to look back and say, man, everybody who bought a home in 2022 and 2023 did really well, not unlike, you know, your family. What was the conversation in Florida when that home was purchased, Ross?
Too much money, man. It was $60,000. It was like, oh my God, but they bought it.
They bought it, but it was, I'm sure their friends and family said, what are you doing? You're an idiot. It's too high.
They didn't ask. Living they didn't get a chance, means. But yeah.
You know, but you look backwards and what do you say now? Oh my gosh, what a great decision.
It was a great decision.
So you're not going to time it. I mean, some people do, but you're not going to time the price. You're not going to time the rate. You simply look at your budget and say, is this affordable?
Well, you could time it if you didn't have a place to live. I mean, but someone's got to live somewhere. Well, so either paying rent or paying mortgage.
Tom has an extra bedroom, so for that one person who's going to
shop. I didn't know. That changes everything.
So I saw a stat for new single-family homes for June were down about 8.1%. I know you just you know.
Now, are you saying in closings, permits pulled, what stat are you actually looking at?
It just says new single home sales declined 8.1% in June.
Okay, so really... that's the sales, that's not permits being pulled. And so keep in mind, if those are closing, here's the other thing, and again, stats are stats. Are these three-bedroom, two-bath standard track homes? Are these all homes across the country? And so you got...
What's the definition of a single home?
Well, there you go. So you need to look at some of those things, and let's explore that in a little bit more after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group, Derek Eggeberg, Academy Mortgage, and we're just talking a little bit about what's going on with interest rates. I know that's affecting purchases of houses and refinancing, which Derek's the mortgage guy. In 08, and I don't know if you can remember, but I remember about half of the realtors in Yuma stopped being realtors because the market was so dried up. What happened to the loan business in 08? Do you remember, like, roughly?
Yeah, same exact thing. It's, you know, when there's a great market, everybody wants to get into an industry. Sure. And then when there's a difficult market, people need to get out. And so, no, you had back in, you know, 08 through 10, you had roughly 50% of the real estate agents, 50% of the lenders. I mean, lots of lending companies blew up and exploded. No different than, let's say, the stock market is going up. I'm sure lots of guys and gals want to get into your business. And when the market is going down, I'm sure a lot of people go, oh my gosh, I need a new job,
yeah,
type thing. So when there's a difficult market, you're going to lose people. And if you, I mean, Google mortgage layoffs, for crying out loud, and there's been huge companies doing one company that I won't say the name, but you can Google it. They laid off 4,800 people about 4 weeks ago. Other companies have done massive layoffs. And so, again, you said the stat. When the refinances are gone, 50% of the business just disappeared. So I'm sorry, if 50% of the business disappeared, doesn't that mean roughly 50% of the people that work in the business are probably at risk?
Yeah, yeah. So if you're a college kid listening to this, you probably want to get in an industry that's towards the bottom of the trough, because then you're going to have some good years ahead of you. Don't go after the industry that's you know, at the top of the game, because it doesn't stay that way.
You know what? I you're right. Don't look for where it's at the top of the game. Look for an industry that you have a passion for, that you really want to do. I mean, I still think it's a great time to do mortgages, and I love this industry because of what I can help people do. I know you feel the same about yours. You love the industry you're in, so whether it's up or down, you like helping the customers and seeing the families provide for their kids and grandkids.
I mean, if you're in the business for the long haul, the ups and downs mean nothing, right?
No, not they don't. Some of it's a little more stressful. Some of it's a little more joyful. But at the end of the day, you know, what I love about the mortgage business is you're helping the American dream. You're creating a legacy for people. I mean, what I love about Yuma is, and to use one of my assistants, she is really one of the first people in her family to ever move up into a new home. Her family is always the, hey, buy a home and that's the one you live in forever and you die in that house.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were scared for her to move up into a new home, but she did it and she turned her old home into a rental. And now she understands what this business is and she's broken that cycle because her two kids know what it's like to move from one home to another. So guess what? She just finally broke the cycle of one home till death for her family. Now her kids have a different vision of what's possible. And I know you do
nieces
that.
Nieces and nephews and any other family.
That's what I really enjoy about this business is kind of trying to break down some of the accepted norms.
So another stat, they said in 2021, 46% of the single family homes were at least four bedrooms. Seems like a lot, huh? Four bedroom? No. Now, is bedroom like just sleeping bedroom or is that considered like a
well, remember that the definition of a bedroom is a room with a closet. So you can't actually call it a bedroom unless there's a closet. You can call it a den or a bonus room. But four bedrooms, and think of where we were in 01 through 05. Everybody was what they were terming the McMansions. Everybody was buying these bigger things. So we started seeing bigger homes in the early 2000s. And then when the correction happened in 07 and 08, everybody started scaling back and getting skinnier, and you saw lots of three bedrooms and townhouses being built.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's kind of the flood. I don't know. It's not the flood effect, but I don't know if you guys just saw the news. You said about the mortgage guys laying people off. Mm-hmm. I think Google laid off some people. Microsoft laid off some people in the last couple of weeks. It was on the news. So then you got a question, you know, when that happens, you know, then it just keeps this thing going on, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could lag down more. I mean, the big question is this towards the bottom or they're going to be, or is it starting to bounce back up?
Man, there's the question that every one of your customers asks is, hey, Tom, are we at the bottom? Can I buy in now? Can I take my cash and, you know, et cetera? You never know whether you're a bottom until one of two things. You're looking backwards or you're Russ's fact checker. Those are the two. Now, Russ, you just sent me something. So you pulled up an apartment stat.
Please. Well, my fact checker sent it.
Okay, well then you gave it to me, so I'm giving you credit. But if you want to give it to your
fact checker. I'll take it.
What did you just find?
That you guys were right on those apartment rentals is huge. But the fact checker always checks just to verify.
And we appreciate that.
It's not that he doesn't trust you guys.
And if we're ever wrong, we expect you to call us out because we know you do.
He'll let you know. But average in Arizona was 25.14 in the last year.
So
increase in
rent. March to March.
Yeah.
But think about what that just told people that the news isn't talking about. You're saying that if somebody had a $1,000 a month apartment a year ago, now they're paying $1,250. That's a huge difference in somebody's budget who's an apartment dweller. But that same person should have bought a home because our interest rates up 25%. Yes. Yeah. If they went from, let's pretend they went from 4 to 5, that's a 25% increase in your interest rate.
Yeah, we don't look at that. They say my interest rate went up 1% is what they say.
But that's the problem is that sounds way different. Yeah. That sounds like what you're talking about, trying to soften the blow with some of these conversations about recession. Stop softening the blow. Let's just talk about what it really is. Interest rates, if they went from 3 to 6, that's a 100% change in your interest cost.
But we don't say it doubled. We say it went up 3%.
But you should. If you spent, what was a gallon of gas 2 years ago?
$2.
$2. What is it now?
Almost four and a half.
Okay. So that's at least 100% increase in the cost of gasoline. Let's just call it what it is. So rents are up 25% or more, almost. Yeah, I mean, in some areas of the country, 40. You were going to say, Tom?
So I had in the last 2 weeks or so, I had some conversations with some local people, and I've come across three building projects that were beginning phases of doing the architect work, and the idea was to build some commercial property. And these are three separate people, but they all put everything on hold, and they didn't, you know, the prices of buildings more expensive. The supply thing, you don't even know like when the stuff could come in. Mm-hmm. You know, they are worried about rates going up because that's the risk they take by waiting. But I know if I know three people that are not going to build because of those reasons, then there has to be three more of them. Yeah. So that's going to have an effect too on some growth too, new building growth.
Right. That affects the whole inflation and everything.
Some of these bids are coming in like 50% higher. Like if you were going to, say, spend $1 million on a commercial building, just FYI, you know, when they did the bidding in that, it came out like, you know, almost $500,000 higher. So would that stay that way? Probably not. But
well, until you get the supply chain fixed, it's going to stay that way, because that's the problem. If you talk to the contractors, they don't even know the cost of some of their materials, and they can't lock in those prices. I mean, very few people can be to the level of I'm going to contractually
sign the contract today and here's the price, and if you do it tomorrow you can have a different price.
That's what some of them are. Yeah. And you know, you see even some of the luxury home builders that here's the range it could be within, but we don't know what it really is. I don't want to buy a home if I don't know what my purchase price is. You know, and then worse, so you have a fluctuating purchase price. You have fluctuating interest rates, so now you could have a payment that might be 50 to 75% different than what you originally thought about. You know, when can you typically lock an interest rate on a mortgage, gentlemen?
90 days, is it? Or
you can pay a little extra to make it last, right?
So you typically say 60 days or less, there's really no cost associated with it. It may change your rate a little bit, but you're not paying anything up front. There are year-long locks that you're going to pay quite a bit of money up front. Basically, you're offsetting the time value of money. So anybody who says, hey, I got a year lock and I didn't pay anything, oh, you paid something somewhere.
Just roughly, like today, what would that cost to do a year lock? I mean, are you talking like tens of thousands of dollars? Or?
Yeah, you're going to end up spending about 2.5 to 3 points of your loan amount up front.
Okay.
And some of that is non-refundable. Some of it can be used. There's float-down options and other things. But when you say the person who hasn't locked, like I had a gentleman who called me, and I feel bad for him, but he's up in Phoenix. He contracted with a builder up there. They had their own preferred lender, if you will. And so they locked their interest rate in February for 60 days.
Oh.
The home's not done, and it's not due to be done until October.
That doesn't help them.
No. But they're firmly convinced that their lender gave them a 3.5 interest rate that now all the paperwork says is expired, which it legally is. And now they clearly can't honor that because it's already expired. And so now they're being told their interest rate is 5.5 and they don't qualify. And now they need to know, can I get them a 3.5 interest rate?
Oh, God.
Well, no, the market has completely changed. The person that you figured you needed to trust, you need to go back and argue with them, because clearly when you trusted them and you didn't read anything, you're in trouble.
So the more someone knows, they probably could have given advice and say, hey, let's lock this thing out for 6 months.
We've got a lot of long-term locks that people paid up front. And look, I would rather pay a little more and know that I'm secure than risk everything and leave myself uncovered. I mean, you understand covers and cover calls and things like that. Why would you want to do a long-term, really nice house and leave the interest rate to chance?
Yeah.
Why? I just don't understand that. I mean, Tom, let's say you want to go buy a 100-unit apartment complex and it's going to close in 2 years. Would you buy that not knowing what the price is and not knowing what the interest rates are?
Nope.
Come on. You don't want to sign the contract?
Nope.
I mean, I'm sure Russ has something to sell if you don't want to know the price.
His fact checker might want to buy it, but I wouldn't want to.
Oh, believe me, you better read his contract. He'll have a way out of it. I mean, he's like you just said, he's not going to take a risk, unknown risk. Yeah. You know,
a margin of risk, but not a completely unknown.
Yeah. No, but there's the thing is some of us need to pay better attention to what's going on, and you go back to it. It's taking responsibility for your own personal finances, making good decisions. You're not going to win the lottery. You need to.
How do you know?
Hey, you know what this reminds me of is, and you probably can relate, but it's like trying to get someone to buy some life insurance. Like someone just got married, they just had a kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, look, if you're the breadwinner. If you die, like your family's gonna be, and they're like, I don't want it. And you can at that point stop and say, okay, and let's move on to the next direction, or you can say, let's talk about this for another 10 minutes, and you can give examples, real life stories.
Do you do that?
You know, talk. Yeah. Well, you should if you're trying to help people, because their quick response is, no, I don't want to fund a Roth IRA. Let me, you know, not just know, we'll move on to the next item. Like, this is why you need to do it. And you get people that, professionals that, if they're looking after the interest, you know, there's times to stop everything and say, no, get your wife in here and see if she doesn't think you don't need life insurance. So anyways, it goes back to the professionals as far as, I think someone giving some advice and making sure it's just not a quick yes, no, I don't want to pay any extra money. Thank you. Bye. Anyways, we'll take a break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop with love.
The preceding show on 560 KPLD was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KPLD.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560, Tom Rush, Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark in studio, 8:47 on a very humid and muggy Friday morning.
There you go.
So, you guys, we're talking about something off air, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Is listen to the professionals that you trust. I mean, you got to develop a trust level with people. Don't just listen to everybody. Listen, develop a trust level, develop a relationship. But you talked about it. There's times that, what did you say your doctor said you need to do?
Yeah, so I was saying every time I go see my doctor, which I get some regular checkups, you know, it's always you got to lose weight, you got to get your blood pressure down because I have a blood pressure problem. And then, you know, he can just, it's almost like a broken record.
Yeah.
Or he can, you know, sit you down and say, look, man, you're at a point where you need to get this, and maybe a little slap in the back of the head, because I know my doctor pretty well. But, you know, while you leave the office thinking, oh, this guy is pretty serious about it, so I got to get serious about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a good professional will stop people when they make that quick, I'm not going to do that. I don't need that. You know, I don't want to spend any more money. If they really need it, you need to slow them down and be like, look, this is why you're hiring me.
But there's the difference is the professional who's willing to part with more of their time, because your time is valuable, you'll sit down and say, wait a minute, pause. We got to do this. And you talked about insurance. You know, I mean, I'm sick of seeing the car washes on 4th Avenue to pay for a funeral expense because people didn't have those life insurance needs. And, you know, even a small policy, but the professional will sit down and say, wait, pause, time out. Let's look at this. I mean, you go into Russ's shop. I know you guys are going to say, hey, wait a minute, time out, pause. You need to do a little bit more because this is unsafe. You're not. Yeah. And if somebody goes, no, I don't really want to do that, you're probably going to go, wait a minute, pause just a second. Let's really go look at this.
And then when they do that, about 75% of the time plus, you can get people to change their mind and do what they should be doing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to let people get out of there. I mean, we're serious about safety, you know.
You hope so, and you have to be diligent, and you have to spend the time and energy. And then at the end of the day, you have to say, you, Tom, or you, Russ, me, I did my best. I really did my best to try to show people the ropes. And it's like, you know, I had a guy yesterday come in. Hey, I really want an adjustable rate mortgage because I really think interest rates. It's like, wait a minute. If you know interest rates potentially are going to go up and you think this is the market, please explain to me why you want me to give you an adjustable rate mortgage.
Yeah.
Because
opposite of what you should be doing.
You need the fixed rate. You take adjustable rate mortgages when the market is high and you think it's coming down, not down here, because they're not going to adjust downwards for you. Now, there were some back in the day that adjusted downwards a little bit, but it's like, who just told this random consumer that he needs to risk his finance, you know, his financial home on an adjustable rate mortgage? But he saw a hot button, kind of like what you're talking about your doctor. Hey, here's a pill. Tom, take this pill and you're going to be skinny and sexy and you'll have a six pack and all that stuff.
Oh.
You know, does that pill exist? Well, if it does, Tom hasn't taken it. Kind of a thing.
I heard Pfizer's coming out with a weight loss pill. I did read about that. There's, you know how Viagra didn't come from them studying how to make Viagra work. It was an offshoot of some other problem. I think it was actually blood pressure or that. Where Pfizer's coming out with supposedly a pill that's going to take the average. They said if someone weighed about 275, that they'd probably be able to drop about 40 pounds. And they're testing this pill. I have no idea what it does, but there is going to be a big diet pill out there pretty quick, I think. Unless they don't pass, you know, the testing.
So I got a question. I mean, let's totally take a curveball on this. Why do we need a diet pill? Why do we need that? And trust me, I could lose a little weight myself. But look at, even in the airline industry, look at how wide the seats are, because they were built for people back in, say, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
You know, what happened that you and I can sit here on air and talk about needing a pill to lose weight, et cetera? Is it the
fast and easy?
Is it the nutritional value of food? Is it the production of the food? I don't know.
I think the typical American wants it done fast, easy, less pain, and money's a factor always in there. But don't you think that just kind of the easy way out?
Probably. I haven't looked at it enough, but You know, when you're talking about a pill.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, we all want an easy way out. Hey, I would love, Tom, here's a bunch of money. Just make me a lot of money. Can I retire anytime soon? I want the easy way out. But you and I know it's, what, a 25, 35-year long process.
Discipline process.
So, where do you see the market going? We talked a lot about mortgages, but on your side, are you seeing customers freaking out? Are you seeing customers going, hey, I got cash. Where's my buying opportunity? What do you see?
Well, so you can look at, in a nutshell, I don't think this is over with. I think we're going to have more downturn. And I read a bunch of stuff, get a bunch of newsletters, and it's just my thought. But, the market got, the S&P got down, I think it was down 21% in late June or somewhere in June. And now it's down about 15%, and it was down 17% beginning of the week. But I think there's more downturn, and then at some point there'll be some buying opportunity. And I've shifted people the last 6 to 18 months, about a year out, started shifting people to get safer, knowing that this thing was, I had a gut instinct that it was going to get cheaper and then we can buy back in. So necessarily haven't bought back in yet, but I'm sitting on the sidelines rubbing my arms together, waiting for more misery because I think it's coming.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you can buy in. And when you're not sure about the bottom, which no one is, it's a luck thing if you hit the bottom, mm-hmm. is just do it in increments, dollar cost average. Maybe do it in 3 to 4 different stabs. And let me throw one stat out. So late 69, mid 70s, and early 80s, those were the recessions we've had where it was caused by inflation. The average market dropped for 20 months. One was 19, one was 20, one was 21 months. So we're 8 months into this. I mean, I'm not saying every recession is identical because it's not, but technically we're 8 months into a down market. So, if it's close to 20 months, give or take, I think there's still more time for this thing to develop. So that's my thought.
Okay, Russ, how about yours? You look like you're studying over there.
I am. I'm trying to figure things out, but how long I think it's going to last? I think we're in it for longer than normal.
So,
because we haven't recognized it. We're not working. I don't see anybody doing anything politically or anything else that says, okay, we're in this problem. Here's how we're going to fix it. I don't see it. I just see it doesn't exist.
They're spending more money. They just passed right? Or it has to be.
I don't know if it's
approved.
Passed yet, but that's their answer.
I mean, that's more money that being spent on the green wave, right? I mean, that's not changing things.
No.
So here's what we individually need to do. Russ, are you comfortable with your finances? Yeah. Are you working to make more money? And are you saving and investing more smartly?
All those are true. Zero debt. Okay. I have none. And
Dave Ramsey style.
And, and I'm watching everything. I went through everything, combed through everything to make sure I don't have any vampires out there that I'm spending money on that I'm really not using.
So you're not relying on anybody external to you to make it.
And then the next is the business. Clean it up, be the best. Because in a downturn economy, let's say that I'm in an industry that's working at 100% right now and mm-hmm. across with all my competitors, everybody. And let's say that 20% of that industry dries up or 30% dries up. Well, I got to be the one that doesn't dry up.
Yep.
I got to be the best at what I do so that when someone says, I'm not going to get this service done anymore, it'll be at someone else, not at me. Because believe me, we're all in competition. And people will gravitate to where their dollar goes the farthest, their trust goes the farthest, because they're going to be in the same economy we're in. And they're going to make sure that they will do more due diligence to make sure that they find the right service at the right place at the right price. And if they do that, I need to be the guy that comes up, that there pops up.
So in a good economy, people get businesses get complacent and they get fat and happy because when money's flowing in, who cares if I spend a little extra there because I could,
Right.
So basically what businesses need to do is follow the market and realize when your revenue is starting to get cut down and basically start cutting at that level and don't wait 3 months, six months. I personally made that mistake in 2008. I mean, I had to pull quite a bit out of
How'd that feel?
Well, my wife wasn't happy. I mean, I didn't let anybody go in my office. I think I had 8 employees. But I kind of thought it was going to be a pretty short-lived drop down, and I didn't really take it too – wasn't too concerning. In 6 months, things would be better. And I actually, had to get some money out to keep things going, and I had some properties I could loan against. So the bank helped me out. But the point is like, you know, one thing that I realized is, you know, you gotta move when it's time to move, whether it's cutting things, getting more, you know, efficient at your services or asking harder questions, but don't be complacent. That's what's going to hurt people.
Sometimes it's just paying attention, like you talked about.
You got a minute and 20 seconds.
We don't know what you...
You got a minute and 20 seconds.
Okay, well, from all of us, you know, I'll do mine, you can do yours. You know, again, for all of us at Academy Mortgage and KBLU, Yuma Investment Group, we appreciate those that are serving, have served, if you've had family members that served. I love being able to live in the United States and sit here on the radio and talk with freedom. And
why we have it. And we need to fight for it, I think.
And we wouldn't be able to do that if there weren't generations of people that believed in this country and fought for it all the way back to the signers of the Declaration. So from all of us, I greatly appreciate your services and dedication.
And my advice to everybody out there is take care of yourself and your family and other people. If they did the same thing, then we'd have no worries, you know. Just focus on what you're doing and take care of yourself, your family, your immediate family, and don't get strung out on other issues that are irrelevant to taking care of your family.
My advice, listen to these guys. Is that it then?
Sure. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe.
Opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.